Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
I bet all y'all out there were wanting to start your 2022 right. Well, too bad, because Plumbing the Death Star is here to ensure that you start your year wrong with a brand new live show at the Comedy Republic. In 2019, we did an episode called How Would You Curse a Small Village that came out so heinous we couldn't put it on the public feed. And now, inadvisedly, we're putting it on the public stage by giving it another go and asking once again, how would you curse a small village? February 19th, 5:30 p.m. at the Comedy Republic. Tickets are $20 and you can grab them right now from the Comedy Republic website, link in the show notes below. Once again, that's February 19th, 5:30 p.m. at the Comedy Republic. Come see Plumbing the Death Star live and think to yourself, yuck.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts. Previously on Stories of the Grey Hill Free Company.
A swarm of locusts is eating crops once again in the area surrounding Grey Hill. The swarm of locusts is believed to be the work of a witch or a some sort of malcontent mage. You're going to take the boy who needs a song. Yes. You're going to take the locust problem.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, let's just do the local boy first. The swarm of locusts, and then swing up to the castle.
You gotta realize, in the last maybe like less than a week, Gluppel has become a spider, realized, yeah. Oh no, he's fucked up, gone to a better druid than he will ever potentially be, realized like, I couldn't even really identify where the grove was. It took me a bit. He's a half-orc, yeah?
Yeah, he's a half-orc.
Okay. They got beards?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm going to need someone to teach me.
Morimar shaves, though, so...
Oh, yes. Well, I will be definitely... If I ever see that happening, I'll be like, how do you do that?
Morimar gestures to the path that he needs to now cut down. He bids you all good day, and then he heads off to Grey Hill on his own. It is shocking the amount of wheat that has been clearly destroyed by locust pests.
Right. Yeah, what can you do? Tell us about the locusts.
Locusts have been sweeping through this place for about... maybe 3-4 days now. There have been some other adventuring parties come through a chat to me as well. None of them have had any luck so far. We think there is some sort of... well, there's a malicious nature to the locusts. We've seen this sort of stuff before. Or we've seen locusts before, but not like this. This is almost targeted, almost an attack. And the other farmers agree. We don't think this is natural. We think there's some ill magics about.
Oh, right. So this is not like, say, you know, there's been period of, say, drought or whatever where all
we've
the
had locusts. Yeah, we've had locusts before. Yeah. This is something else. I've never seen a locust attack an animal like that before.
Yes, no, it does sound rather bizarre.
Did you notice anything else happen around the time things got bad?
Mm.
Did it seem like one bad thing happened and then this happened, or?
He racks his brain. No, nothing that I can think of.
Mm.
Do you know any enemies if you have?
As a matter of fact, I do. And you won't hear it from me, but a few farms down, just back of the direction you came, there is one of the farmers there, a gnome, I should say, not even a man, a gnome by the name of Yim, came into this area. He's got strange contraptions kicking about, making a noise and whatnot. I wouldn't be shocked to hear that this is all something to do with one of his foul monstrosities that he constructed.
Right.
Am I getting the vibe that... this man is
scared of change.
Is he racist? Are we getting racist vibes from this man?
Yeah. Are we just getting like he's a little bit like racist slash gnomes do some weird things, and it's like new technology. And back in my day, we didn't need that.
Is he channeling his fear?
This sounds more like gossip than fact.
Right. Yes. Oh, well. Okay.
Thank you.
Right. Yes.
Tree stump, illiterate but still capable of understanding racism.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh, it's very serious. I don't think it would be very proper of me. I don't know how to read that, but, you know, I know how to be kind.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Mm. Yes, well, we'll definitely go and check out this Yim fellow.
All right, so what do you do?
We're going to go say hello to Yim.
Well, as we're on the road.
It's Yim.
Let's go chat to Yim. I'm guessing they might know a bit more of what's going on in the area.
You turn back the way you came, head a few farms back, and you see it looks more like a hobby farm than anything else. You know the sort of farm that you might find in a cheery like rural village in, I don't know, Holland or something like that. Imagine like a miniature windmill slowly turning around. Maybe on the way up you noticed this and you thought it was very cute and quaint. It's a squat little hovel, kind of almost like a hobbit house with a big round front door, but a lot of accoutrements out the front. There is like almost an entire city of garden gnomes out the front, lawn gnomes or garden gnomes, whatever, with like pointy red hats, all in various different leisurely activities, some swimming, some fishing, doing whatnot out in the front lawn. There's the, like I said, the miniature windmill up the back, which slowly turns, and you can see that it appears to be a miniature, but nonetheless functional windmill that is quite clearly milling something as you watch it work. There's like a beautiful little brook that naturally flows through the farmstead. It's much smaller than any other property. And you see a veggie patch out the front that extends round the side and into the back.
Is this like perhaps the nicest farmstead we've seen?
It's definitely the nicest farmstead, yeah.
Yes, right.
There's a lot of little gadgets as well that just slowly chinkle, whir, or make other sorts of noises and emit small puffs of smoke. One of them is clearly, there's like, imagine like a wheel, no, a ball, not a wheel, a ball with many grabbing hands on sticks. It's rolling through the veggie patch, and you see the hands are grabbing tomatoes as it rolls through. Another one of them is clearly maintaining a lawn. Like it's imagine a Roomba, but it's a lawnmower slowly making its way along the front lawn. And then you see like an old looking terrier, a Scottish terrier, sitting on the front porch of the farmstead. One of the other contraptions just is like a box with a stick and a big hand, and the hand is just going up and down petting the dog.
Yeah, that seems pretty useful, actually.
A sign out the front notes this as Yim Thimblewimble Farm.
Hang on, so this property has not been ravaged by locusts at all?
No.
Interesting. Well, I mean, let's knock on, maybe find out what what Yim's done to avoid their crops being eaten.
As you approach the front door, Yeola and Chantel break off to go pat the dog.
That's fair.
Someone has to. Yeah.
I'm shocked neither of us have done such a thing. Maybe we all break off.
Saren also breaks off. She's going to go. She wants to look at the thing that's picking tomatoes.
Mm,
right. I would do the same. That is very interesting.
What dog is it?
It's a Scottish Terrier.
Oh, yeah. Well.
An Orkish Terrier?
No, a Scottish Terrier. Oh, I mean, like, you wouldn't call it a Scottish Terrier, but that's the type of dog that it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is Terrier also a place? I don't know. Whatever. Who fucking cares?
One who terries.
Who fucking cares? There's a small county in Candor called Scotland. Who fucking cares? It's a Scottish Terrier.
Look what you've made me do.
Yeah, it's my fucking world. Whatever.
Good point. Yeah, fair enough. All right, fine.
It's a Scottish Terrier.
Yes. You can have a little dog island that has all the countries that every dog is named after.
Yeah. I'll head over to the dog as well. Perhaps I'll...
All right, so no one knocks at the front door.
Not yet. Everyone gets distracted. If there's one thing I know about this party, is that we're easily distracted by shiny things.
Okay.
And what is more shiny than a dog?
I want to go to the dog.
Yeah. Well, I want to have a chat with the dog as well.
I don't want the dog to think I don't like him.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I like him.
Yeah, he's very cute. Yeah, well, I'll speak with animals and be like, hello there.
Hello.
Hello. What's your name there, little fella?
My name?
Yes.
Scallywag.
Oh, hell yes.
He lifts his head up a little bit, and there's a dog tag that says Scallywag.
Yeah, hello there, Scallywag. You're wondering a bit of a scratch under the chin, is that who you're at?
He lifts his head up a little bit so that you can scratch.
I give him a little bit of a scratch.
The hand makes the box that is patting the dog. Mm. When the dog's head moves, the box makes and then the arm moves slightly so that it's not slapping the dog but still patting.
Well, that's a very interesting thing you've got on your back or near your back.
It's patting him on the head.
Oh, that's on your head. That's very, very good. Is this
if you can't speak with animals as well, you realize so the box making the box is making like a whirring, strange clicking noise. When you can't speak with animals, you hear that the box is the sound is actually the box is actually making a sound that animals understand, and the sound is good boy, good boy, good boy, good boy.
It's like a praising box. Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, you are a very good boy. So your gnome, I guess, is Yim, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, is Yim very nice gnome?
Yeah.
Have you had many locals around here?
No.
Yeah, okay, that's very, very good. What does Yim do?
Scallywag seems confused by the question. Right.
That's here. Can you tell me a bit more about your day-to-day life, I guess? Like, you just sit out here and get patted by that lovely praise box?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good life, isn't it? Yes. Okay. Do you get many visitors?
No.
So just Yim?
No.
Okay, so is it Yim and his other family, friends?
No.
So other visitors?
Yeah.
Right. And they're also gnomes?
No.
Okay, they're more humans?
Yeah.
Right. Are they friendly?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Are they dressed like, say, perhaps in like robes, like hooded kind of things?
No.
Yeah, they're just like farmhands?
No.
Like knights?
No.
Like civilian clothes?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it very fancy looking clothes?
No.
No, okay. So more say like... I like gesture to myself, like these kind of clues?
No.
Bit more fancier?
No.
Worse?
No.
So the same?
No.
This is killing me. Why are you asking yes, no questions?
I'm so glad he keeps doing it, though.
Because it's very cute. So what kind of people do come around? You can catch their names?
The Miller.
Oh, the Miller, right.
Zay Miller.
Is that a name?
Yeah.
Okay, it's cool. The Miller. All right, and who are they?
Scallywag seems confused by this question as well.
Right. What do they look like? What do they look like? What they dress like?
Woman.
Okay. And is it in a dress, like a lovely flowing kind of dress kind of thing? Or is it more of a academic-y kind of vibe? So what kind of dress is it then?
Scallywag looks over at where Sarin is inspecting the tomato-picking device. With kind of a pointing gesture with his nose, he points at Sarin and says,
And Sarin's dressed like in more kind of
Sarin has
flowing
like a
garbs,
like a flowing, billowing kind of robe which has leather armor pieces stitched into it.
Oh, right. And when was the last time that they've popped over?
Now.
Oh, they're there now. Yeah, well, thank you very much. You're a very good dog. You're a very good boy.
I know.
Yes. I
give him a little pat as well.
He lowers his head back down to the floor. Mm. The machine... Bang, 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 bang. Bang, bang. Good boy. Good boy. Good boy.
That was a very long conversation. Did you learn lots of things?
Oh, yeah, I learned heaps of things. Why?
What very interesting shade. Conversations.
Why? What would you have learned from the dog? Anyway, yes, very good conversationist. Very nice. Apparently, Zim currently has, Yim has a visitor currently. We probably should go say hello.
Good idea. I stop patting the dog.
Chantal and Yeola also stop patting the dog.
And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Joel Zammit here from either the podcast you're currently listening to or some other podcast like, let's say, I don't know, Baseless Speculation, rudely interrupting your good times to tell you about another podcast I do called Baseless Speculation. Do you often find yourself looking at a new Spider-Man trailer and thinking to yourself, oh, I wonder how Sony are going to shit the bed on this one? Or perhaps you're a big fan of X-Men and will ponder how they would even show the Krakoan era of mutants on the silver screen. Or maybe there's some news that some fucking guy is going to play Mario in the upcoming film Mario about that plumber Mario and his brother Luigi. And you think to yourself, I wonder what they're going to do there. Why do these plumbers keep jumping on turtles? Us. Too. So we made a show about it where we baselessly speculate on upcoming films, TV shows, and more. So join me and my beautiful co-hosts, Jackson Bailey and Joel Dusha, who you might know from either this very podcast or another, on Baseless Speculation. Available on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon are doing a podcast thing now. You can find us there if you'd like. Google? They have Google Podcasts now. Really, there's never been a better time to search for podcasts, especially ones called Baseless Speculation.
Chantal says, we might go around the back. We want to look at the windmill.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Oh, I'm a bit torn, but... No, I'll stay at the door.
No, you can go look at the windmill. I'll say hello.
No.
You look like you want to go to the windmill.
I want to be invited to the windmill.
Yeah.
I don't want
you
to have
this conversation?
As we're walking up to the door.
Yeola calls. Yeola says, you can come if you want.
By Yim.
I want the gnome to invite me. It's nice to invite someone to your house.
We're just going to go look. It can't hurt. We're not going to step on anything.
That's okay. I'll meet you there in a bit.
All right. They walk around the back.
When I am a host, I get a lot of joy out of inviting people to look at my house.
Yeah, you're a homeowner, are you?
No. No, but if I host an event, it has to be somewhere.
I mean, yeah.
Point well made. Yes. Saren finishes up inspecting the tomato picking machine and is going to join you by the front door.
Knock on the door.
You knock. There is no answer. You first need to stoop down. The door's like a little bit too low for you. But you stoop down, knock. You wait for, I don't know, like 5-10 minutes. No answer.
I don't think I'd wait 5-10 minutes, but like a minute. Is there like a window there I can look through?
Yeah, there's a little window in the door.
I'll look through the window?
It looks like the window has been blacked out. So it is like glass, but you can't see through to the other side. There's something like covering it.
Is the door unlocked?
You check the door. The door does not appear to have a lock.
Yeah. I'll open the door.
As you open the door, the second the door begins moving, you hear... When you open the door, several locusts crawl out from the door hole.
Interesting.
That's so disappointing.
Well, that was interesting.
Did the dog say they were home?
Yes, the dog said they were here.
Oh, well, we did take on the mission to fix the locusts. We better go in.
Yes, well, did any locusts come out of the door, I guess?
A couple, yeah.
Yeah, so what are they just mingling about?
Yeah, you cannot speak with them. They are...
I know. Are they, like, attacking? Are they doing anything? Or are
they're
they
not,
just kind
no, of... They're just chilling. They're acting like a locust might normally.
Can I try and, like, catch one, or at least maybe squash one, and then grab it?
Yeah, if you want to try and catch it, you can make a roll for that.
Yeah, just blat.
Yeah, I say you catch one pretty easily. They're not trying to avoid you too much.
Yes, good. Well, okay, well, we've got... Let's go and grab Chantal, shall we? And Yeola.
All right. You go round the back. Chantal and Yeola step away from each other. You think you interrupted something. They...
So sorry.
No, it's understandable. No, it's the fine. The videos are romantic.
Yeah, well, they're
everything okay?
I just hold up the dead locust.
Huh.
Yes.
You killed it?
Chantal turns to look back at the idyllic, the round back of the little house, hovel, whatever you want to call it. There's like a beautiful little pond that has lily pads on it, and you see a great deal of wildlife around the lily ponds, like frogs, some dragonflies, a bunch of ducks, and some geese. Mm. You can see as well, there's like another little machine that is going around. It's got like imagine two boxes connected by some sort of strange lever. The top box goes back and forth while the bottom box has some sort of form of motion. It goes around to the ducks and geese all have like little swaddles of eggs around the pond. It will go around to one of the egg groups. The top box goes in close and says, "Okay," and then it keeps going, and it just does that endlessly. Whatever its mechanism, whatever its purpose, you are uncertain. It is a beautiful, with that exception of that machine, it is a beautiful, quaint little scene round the back here.
Yes, right. Hmm. So that seems very strange. I think
okay.
The best approach. Yes.
So, this is happening in the distance. Chantal looks at
is there
that
a back door.
No, there isn't. It's like imagine a hill that has a facade.
Like a little hobbit hole.
Yeah. Yeah. So disappointing. I wanted to be his friend.
Yeah, Chantal draws her sword, sighing. You see there's genuine sadness for her right now.
Yeah, I don't want to perhaps make, you know, aspersions that say that previous farmer or the farmers we've spoken to were correct about the gnome, but, well...
It appears that the previous farmers that... we've spoken to that they made aspersions about the correct about the gnome.
Yes, yes. Or, look, maybe whoever was, you know, summoning the locusts sent them to the gnome. We don't know.
We
maybe
don't know. We should go in and we should get ready to fight the gnome.
Yes, yes, we're going to have to fight some locusts.
Okay.
Yes, yes, okay.
That's just in the background. All right, you head back to the front. Okay. It gets a bit distant.
So, what is, I guess, useful in terms of fighting locusts?
Well,
in terms of, if I was to say, put a hand on Chantal's shoulder and be like, let's enhance some abilities, would she need perhaps, say, some endurance or strength or maybe a bit more grace?
Advanced intelligence, cat's grace. Not really. None of those would necessarily help specifically in a fight with locusts, especially since you... These locusts are kind of actually still an unknown entity to you. You're not sure what they're capable of or what they're going to do.
Okay. Well, I'll wait then. And then, yes, well, before casting anything. And then, you're right. Well, I guess we prepare to fight some locusts.
Chantal walks up to the door and turns back and says, it seems stupid, but should I knock first?
I mean, I've already knocked. You can knock again, see if anyone's there.
I think knocking's good.
Then Chantal, pounds on the door, gives it, like, a really hard knock, and then yells, "If there's anyone in there, we're coming in!"
I give the thumbs up.
She kind of, like, braces herself, looks back at you, holds the sword ready in her hand, and then the door opens. Locusts begin kind of, like, spilling out a little bit, but not a lot. And then a gnome sticks his head out. "Well, howdy there. Can I help you?"
Yeah. Hello.
Greetings.
We're here investigating the locusts.
pauses at that.
Not gonna lie here, Mr. Yim. You seem a little bit on the look. If I was out here hunting locusts, and as it looks appears in your particular abode, there appears to be lots of locusts. So I don't want to make aspersions, but look, you look a little suspicious.
There certainly does. Perhaps it's best if you're adventurers, are you?
We're employees.
What?
We're yes, employees. Employees.
Sorry, you're going to have to speak up one more time. It's noisy with the locusts.
Ah.
We're employees.
Employees? You look of like adventurers.
Of the Grey Hill Free Company.
Oh, mercenary adventurers. Well, that's all
I wouldn't call us mercenary.
I think life's an adventure. I think we're all adventurers.
Yeah, yes, but we are actually professional adventurers. I wouldn't say mercenary. That seems there's a little connotation there that I don't think we definitely abide by.
Fine, you're adventurers for hire.
We're arguing semantics.
For
Let's
hire,
go in.
Right?
What?
For hire.
What?
For
Turn
he
the
like steps
off.
Out, closes the door behind him, brushes off. He's like half covered in locusts.
Right. Yes, that's
by for hire.
Yes.
Yes, yes, we've been hired by, the local farmers to investigate the local...
Whatever they're going to pay you, I'll pay you a bit more.
Hey,
for what?
It sounded like you were about to say double.
Well, I didn't... I realized I might not be able to promise that.
So pay the double for... Sorry, pay a bit more for what? What are you doing here, actually?
I live here.
What?
No.
Gestures to the sign.
No. You're being none of that.
You're being tricky.
What are you doing here with the locusts? You know what I'm doing.
Well, they're not my locusts.
What are you doing here with the locusts?
Well, they're a person. They're my visitors' locusts.
Oh, your visitors' locusts?
Yeah.
Your dog told me their name.
Ziamia.
Yes. Your dog told me their name.
What?
Right. So, your dog.
Oh, you're like a druid or something?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Well, he spits. Well, if you're for hire, I could pay you. Well, how much were you offered for this gig? The answer is 400 gold.
I remember. Well, I mean, look, we were offered 400 gold to stop the locusts, but ultimately, like, the locusts are eating up the crops. I mean, it's a problem.
Well, I'll pay you, if you want, I'll pay you 400 gold to just walk away, or I'll pay you 500 gold if you'll help, and that'll get rid of the locusts. No, wait, okay. I'll pay you 100 gold, that'll get rid of the locusts.
Yeah.
And then you can collect the original one, but you have to just help. You can't hear what it is.
Look, okay, fine. Yes, we are definitely here to help. Want to leave the world better place and all that? Yes. What's the issue here?
How do we help without knowing?
Well, I'll tell you what, but you got to promise you're going to help first.
I'll promise that we will try in the best of our abilities to help you.
You got to keep this I need people who can keep a damn secret.
Yeah, okay, yes. We can definitely keep a secret.
You can keep a secret. All right, then. Well...
That was very easily trustworthy.
Oh, all right. If you say you can, that's good.
He like looks around, looks left, looks right. All right, you come in. Don't tell anyone. But just come in. Just come in. He opens the door.
Thank you.
The inside of his house must be nice if it weren't for all the locusts. It is covered in every surface is covered in locusts. It is like Bilbo Baggins' house from Lord of the Rings. If Bilbo Baggins' house was 10 times cuter, had several machines puffing and smoking about, making all sorts of noises, and was covered in locusts. The machines are either turned off or have been forced off by locusts gumming up their machinery.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, they cook on as well. If you've got an on machine that bug flies into, the bug cooks onto it.
You'll have to excuse the furnishings, he says.
That's okay. That's fine. So what seems to be the problem?
Hang on, he says. He pulls a lever on the wall next to the door, and there's like a squat table in the middle of the entry room. That squat table cracks open, and there's a set of stairs going down. We'll be able to hear each other down the stairs, he yells.
That would be great. You're not going to lure us here and kill us, right?
What?
You're not going to lure us into a dungeon and kill us, right?
I'll get you a glass when we're done.
Thank you.
What did he think you said?
I don't know, but looking forward to a glass.
of whatever it is that I'm going to get.
All right, you all head down the stairs. On the other side, Yim steps through and then pulls a little lever and then the table closes behind you. As it closes, you feel relief as you can no longer hear the locusts, but you realize you are in pitch darkness. There is no light in this stairwell. You only need to deal with complete darkness for but a moment, though, before, boom, 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 a set of lights switch on going downstairs. The tunnel down is very, very steep and very, very deep.
Yeah.
With a dull red glow, several electrical lamps light the way. You are walking down for maybe a full 5 minutes before you come to a small little alchemy room at the bottom. The alchemy room has a bunch of furnishings, presumably from upstairs, shoved in here. Obviously, some like nice, delicate, or expensive equipment that Yim didn't want the locusts getting at, kind of just piled about the place. But in addition, there's like a little table with some squat chairs around it. There's a steeping teapot and two cups. And as you come down, Yim goes off to bustle, get to acquire some more teacups. Also, sitting at the table is a woman. She's wearing light leather armors. You can see it's kind of like probably I suppose it's a medieval society. Everything's like homemade, but it looks like wild. She looks like a for lack of a better term, a witch of the swamp, if you will. She is streaked with dirt, her hair wild. One of her eyes is obviously glass, and when she turns to look at you, you see it kind of like moves a little every time she moves her head, like it isn't sitting properly in her head. She gives you like a kind of cautious look, but when Yim comes in, she understands that you must be friends, and she politely smiles, showing blackened, awful teeth.
Hello there. My name is Glapple. Nice to meet you. I believe your name was...
She looks at Yim. Yim looks back and says, oh, she can't talk. Her name is Ziamia.
Ziamia. How do you know her name then?
We have other methods of communicating, I suppose.
Ew.
Also, she's literate. I mean, that's not how she told me.
So is here. Oh, I'm so sorry, Big T.
My name's Tree Stump. Hello.
She, like, nods, smiles politely, and you can see her, she mouths hello.
So why can't she talk? What happened there? Was it, has she always been like that? Or?
Yeah, that's my understanding. She's always been like that.
Yeah, right. Nice to meet you, Ziamia. Do you prefer to communicate in pen and paper, or...?
Pen and paper has been one of the primary ways for us to communicate, but she also has another method. Ziamia reaches to her forehead, pulls at her forehead, and it feels like her skin stretches a little bit before...
That's interesting.
You know how... All right, so you know what a brain looks like, right?
Yeah.
It's all those wrinkled folds. Imagine if you got one of those wrinkled folds and peeled it off your brain. Now, she pulls at her head until... Coming out of her head, she pulls what looks like a little piece of brain, like a little brain. Like if your brain was string cheese that you could pull at, like that.
Okay.
Is she human? Yeah,
she's human.
I go to my own head and just kind of grab at my forehead
for
a little bit.
You hurt yourself.
Right, okay. That's interesting. Maybe like she subtly, so no one sees. But like, I do try it out.
you maybe wince a little with pain. It hurts, but you can't do it.
Okay, so it's not a human thing.
She hands the little piece to you, Glubble.
Ew.
It looks almost like a worm. It wriggles like one as well.
Right.
Ah, she says, and she points to her mouth.
I put it on my tongue.
She makes like a swallowing sound.
I swallow it. Was this a mistake? Find out next time on Stories of the Grey Hill Free Company.
Hey, I'm George Dimrellis, and I'm here to talk about Bookish, my book-themed interview podcast where I get a different guest on every week to talk about their favorite book and what that says about them. It's kind of half about the book and a lot about the guest, because I'm trying to figure out why that thing you love is that thing you love. So if you've ever wondered, I like this thing, I wonder what that reflects about me. This show is basically me trying to figure that out every week with a new guest. It's kind of half book podcast and half psychoanalysis session from someone taking some wild shots in the dark. But it's a lot of fun and I think kind of informative. And there's books.